This podcast is produced by KPP Financial for more than 20 years, helping Americans plan their retirement years with confidence. Now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the March 28th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. And we try to bring you useful information, stuff that you can use. And, of course, answer any questions you might have live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Or if you can't call live, you can always leave your question on a 24-hour listener line. Same number, 888-99-CHART. And we're going to go to a question in just a minute. Today, great investment mistakes. We're going to talk about it today. Great investment mistakes. The bear trap. That's going to be one of our main talking points. That is our main talking points. We're going to talk about other things as well. And of course, we get questions about stocks every day. Here's a thought about evaluating a company. When comparing the fundamentals of companies, it's important to identify the typical characteristics of the competitors within the respective industries. You do not compare stocks in one sector with stocks of another sector. You stay within that sector. You don't compare them with the overall market either. Now, I give you a lot of information when you call about a stock, but you really should compare the information within their sector, okay, not outside their sector. Everybody uses growth as their primary driver when they look at stocks. That's the differentiator they look at in the marketplace, the growth of that company. However, in my years of research, the biggest difference, the differentiator you should be looking at, is margins, meaning profit margins, not growth. So an example, commodities and retail boast margins in single digits. They have single digit margins as the revenue per unit usually hovers near the production cost or acquisition costs due to their lack of ability to make their retail and commodity products different. Or you can't say, well, gee, my eggs are better than your eggs. It's pretty hard to do that. So when you're selling something, or my white T-shirt is better than your white T-shirt. Well, yeah, there's differentiators, but it's difficult. Therefore, what happens is these companies, when they compare each other, their margin's only 3 to 4%. Walmart's margin has only been 3 to 4% for 10 years, whereas Microsoft net margins have hung around about 30%. Profit margins for the same period. Apples to apples. So I don't look at growth as I want growth by growth of sales, but I want the profit margins to be maintained or increasing. That's what you really want. So it's a difference between profitability. Okay, that's what it's all about. And of course, the ratios, when you start looking at ratios of a tech company versus ratio of a commodity company, they're very, very different. The P/E ratios, the price to sales ratios, the return on equity numbers, very different, very different. So that's my lesson for today. Okay, well, I might have another one later on the show. And let's see. This is of course just one example when you compare companies to companies, as you know, just one. So what money matters on your mind today? I'm ready for any money questions you might have. 888-99-CHART is the number. Let's go to the phones and take that question from our 24-hour listener line.
I'm 28 years old. Last year, I filed a bankruptcy, and right now I have a very good income. So I'm going to start investing. I don't know where to start from.
Okay. Hopefully, if you got a good job, you have a 401k, and of course, that's where you start. You start putting money in your 401k. Hopefully, your company matches. If you don't, then you start start your own IRA, or you can do both. But you got income limits, and you got to know the rules. That's where you would start putting money in those things, and then once you're in those things, buy indexes. Don't get fancy. You're not going to be able to pick the next Microsoft or the next Google or the next Tesla, whatever. You're not going to be able to pick. We are normal humans. We don't pick those. But you can manage a good, solid portfolio of stocks with indexes. People try to get too And that's going to be one of our talking points today when we talk about the bear trap. People try to get too fine in determining what's going to happen. No one really knows. I can tell you what's going to happen. The market's going to go up. You know how many years the market's been up in 35 years? Those people that came to the conference last week, I asked this question. How many years in the last 35 years has the market gone up? How many years of the last 35 years has the market gone up? The answer is 30. Don't try to be so fine in trying to guess where you're going to go. So for you, buy some solid index funds because your knowledge is probably pretty limited, and then just stay with them. And you'll do fine if you don't panic out. 888-99-CHART. Getting out of the market is much easier than getting back in, as a lot of you investors know. Great investment mistakes, the bear trap. That's one of our talking points. Also, I'm going to discuss Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Stanley Fisher made some comments today, and I think we should talk about that. I want to talk about some economic statistics that came out today. You know, there were a couple of them that kind of, I think, pushed the market today, which was interesting. And Goldman Sachs said that we are at a high risk of correction. So I want to go over what they mean. What do they mean by that? What's a correction to them? And what's a high risk? The market bounced nicely up today, 151 points on the Dow, 35 points on the NASDAQ, and 17 points on the S&P. And I think most of that was kind of maybe because we've had been down for most of the month of March. I mean, we're still way down from March, 1, 2%. But I think much of that bounce was because of good economic news. It was fairly good economic news. Not for me, it wasn't that great because there's certain things I don't follow. I don't think are all that important to follow. But you know, everybody else does follow it, and I think that's what spurred the market. There certainly wasn't much else to spur the market. Not today. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. What's your money question today? If my retirement accounts are fully funded, how should I invest the rest of my cash? How should I save for college? 888-99-CHART is our live listener line every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Hi, guys. This is Nick from Walnut Creek. I have a question. I have Johnson & Johnson, J&J, in my IRA. I'm curious, is this the type of stock I should just buy and leave and hold in my account and just collect a dividend? Or should I be looking to trade something like this with the run-up, right? Thanks.
Well, that's really a very good question. And what you're really asking is not really about Johnson & Johnson. You're asking, should there be stocks in my portfolio that should be core holdings and I just ignore them? And then are there other stocks in my portfolio that should be tradable stocks or stocks I should trade? And if I was, and that I think is the question you're asking. And the answer is yes. And Johnson & Johnson is one of the core holdings questions. It's a positions. I wouldn't sell it if I owned it. I would just hold on to it forever. And just keep collecting the dividend, knowing that, I mean, history tells us it's going to stay in a trade, and I could in a channel slowly moving up over time. Now, if you're asking me, is it something I should sell now because of the recent movement, and it was a tradable stock, I say, yeah, now's the time you probably take profits because it moved from 110 to 129 plus. In 2 months, okay, and for Johnson & Johnson, who's $340 billion company, that's a huge move. And will it pull back? Yeah. Matter of fact, it's already pulled back to 125 from 129 or so. Well, is there going to be more pullback? Oh, it could be. It can go back to 110, 112. That's easily enough. It could. But if you have to designate certain positions, you should designate certain positions or core holdings that you never touch. And Johnson & Johnson is one of those kinds of companies. I mean, we're talking about a $340 billion company worldwide, develops healthcare products and provides services to the consumer, pharmaceutical, medical markets. shampoo, you name it. And it's huge, solid, and never going to go away. So you buy this kind of stock when it's cheap. When's it cheap? In a recession. It'll be cheap again. But, you know, then you just hold on to it forever. You just don't necessarily sell your core holdings. And this would be a core holding in my mind. J&J is a symbol. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, great investment mistakes, the bear trap. And there's an article you can read. This is from Morningstar. You can read the article on it from our website. It's really a good article to kind of, bring to light mistakes. And this is a trader or investor who admits what he did wrong. And he sends a letter to the fact. And the first three or four words is the very thing that he did wrong. I sold all my stocks in 2005. And he sold it because he read Paul Volcker's April op-ed about how the financial situation was getting very, very stretched and blah, 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 right? And it did eventually turn out right. Sold all his stocks. Okay, then he invested 20% of the money at near the bottom. Okay, why not 100%? Nope, 20%. Then he bought just one mutual fund. and that fund, for the next few years, lost 50% of value. It's one of the worst performing funds. Why did he buy it? Because he was sold it by a commercial, John Houseman commercial, about how great, you know, his stock picks have been in the past. And so figured he'd do well in the future. He's trying to time the market. He's trying to buy just one thing instead of getting a very good diversification going on here. And it's typical. You cannot guess the bottom. Yes, you've heard me say it on the air. Clearly, market's overvalued. Well, it is. Have you heard me say get out of your stocks? No. Now, that doesn't mean you can't take profits and sell in the cash until a better opportunity, but you don't just get out of your stocks. That's never worked. That's why you just heard me talk about core holdings. You always hold on to the core holdings because no one knows when the market's going down. So a bear trap is believing the popular press or believing one person. Read about both sides. Read about it's very bad and find an article that says it's very good because they both are, you're going to both have really solid arguments. And why can you can find those two sides in every market. And why can you do that? Because no one knows. They all have opinions. No one knows. This is The Mess Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART is our live listener line number. And we're live, of course, 4 to 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to John in North Carolina. How you doing, John?
Hey, pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for taking it. I wanted to ask about a company called B&G Foods, Inc., which is in the processed and packaged food industry. I heard a caller mention it a few months ago, and I've kind of been following it. And, so people know it's got an over 4% yield, which is kind of nice. It's got a forward PE of around 16. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of attractive. It's a $2.7 billion market cap, so it's a small to mid-cap size. Mm-hmm. But then I notice its payout ratio is over 90%, so I don't really know what to think. I'm interested in your thoughts.
Well, we own this stock. We've owned it for quite some time. B&G Foods, BGS, manufactures shelf-stable food products such as jellies and hot sauces sold in the U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. What we fell in love with was not just the yield, which is 4.5%, pretty solid, but the growth rate of sales. We kind of last quarter was 21%. The quarter before that was 49%. So we really kind of like that growth rate of sales. And it's going to make $2.33. So if it pays 4.5% of that, okay, 4.5% of $41 is a $1.80, $1.90. Let's say it was $5, it'd be $2, and it's been $4.90. Yeah, so $1.85, $1.90 is going to make $2.33 this year, but it has a $2.61 cash flow, so it can pay it. It's just a very high payout ratio, as you point out, and that does make me nervous. But I kind of didn't necessarily buy it for the dividend. I bought it for the growth.
We weren't buying it as necessarily just a dividend stock, that payout ratio wasn't as big a red flag.
Yeah, that was kind of a bonus. It is a red flag of the payout ratio. You know, we like to see it 60% or less.
And then can I ask you also, technically, it looks like now would be maybe a good time to get in.
Yeah, it looks like it's double bottoming right in here. So I'm thinking, if you wanted to get into it, this is kind of where you would get into it. We bought it at the first bottom, near that bottom somewhere. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah. But
somewhere there. Now it's double bottomed, and I'm thinking, And it looks like it might be stuck in a range because it got up to about $48 and fell down to 41. Yeah. And the high is around 50, 51 last year in August. So it might be stuck in a range, but as long as it keeps growing, I'm okay. I'm a little concerned about the debt too, a little high on that debt issue. But I do think food is probably a good place to be.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. Appreciate it.
John, appreciate the call. Thank you. BGS, we own that in some of our managed accounts. And the reason why you always hear us say some, because we have some that are focused on, that are different kinds of focus, and some are focused on growth. So we've got three basic different programs. Some have more balanced income producing, and the other two are just looking for growth. So it depends on which program we're talking about. 888-99-CHART. We had economic numbers out today, and we had the Consumer Confidence Index reported for March, and it came in at 125 from 116. That is very high. That is very high. Confidence by the consumers was very high. Now, to be honest, I'm not a big proponent of Consumer Confidence Report or consumers anything as to what they're feel. I'm more interested in what they're actually doing, but not what they feel, because feelings can change real fast. Of course, it's nice to be confident. Confident means they spend. That's the whole reason why they even exist, to see if the consumers will be spending. If they're confident, they tend to spend. So that number, I think, really told the marketplace, hey, things look pretty good. The consumer's confident, even though I'm not a big fan of that number. And the Case-Shiller home price number came in. It's up 5.9% from a year ago, and this is for January. And that is the problem. It's January. It's old. I have brother-in-laws who are real estate appraisers, lots of them, and they're telling me all up and down California that things have slowed down. Prices have actually, even in the Case-Shiller report in January, even if you go back to January, prices in San Francisco, by the way, Case-Shiller only reports on 20 major metropolitan areas, not everywhere. But it said that the San Francisco area prices actually fell in January a little bit. And we're seeing that price fall in, or stabilize to getting a little bit weaker in a lot of existing home sales in California. So, and new home sales. So, now, Friday, we're going to get personal income, we're going to get consumer spending, we're going to get inflation numbers. It's going to be a lot of good numbers I like to see. Income, spending, and inflation. Now, of course, they're all looking back at last month, February. So it's not new, and it's not leading economic indicators, but I always look for trends. It's what I'm looking for. I think it's wise to look for a trend. But and I do believe that consumer confidence index is what pushed market up today. I do. Because I saw nothing else that would even hint at why the market would go up. Or other than the people just, investors just felt like rallying the market. They got tired of being sellers and decided to buy. They think there might be bargains out there. And I do think that's what's going to happen to stop any correction we have. Too much money on the sidelines still. We're at the halfway mark of this Tuesday Invest Talk. Right now, let's hear from you. 888-99-CHART. Next up, I'm going to talk about the Federal Reserve Stanley Fisher and what he said, and then what Goldman Sachs said. This is Invest On.
Our podcast continues next. Couple of words for KPP Financial. Anticipating trends, changing economic climates while they're still developing, that's essential to successful money management. So do you sense a trend change coming that might require an adjustment to your investing strategy? Well, KPP Financial believes that conditions are right for a course correction, cycling from growth to value. KPP offers five individual investment programs to match up with various life situations and changing times, including those invested in their employer's 401k program. These programs vary in design and purpose, from aggressive to those designed to keep risk at an absolute minimum. If you'd like to see some of these programs, it's easy. Whenever you're ready, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Investments tab. And now we continue with the podcast. Invest Talk goes on for this Tuesday. Next time, target date funds might be a bigger gamble than you're willing to take. Why target date funds are off target for many investors. That's one of our topics next time on Invest Talk. We hope you can join us.
Yes, this is Richard from Las Vegas. I'm an avid podcast listener. I wanted your opinion on the home builder Toll Brothers, symbol T-O-L. I bought in 6 months ago at $29.75. I'm very tempted to increase my position. Just wanted your opinion on the stock. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I would definitely not increase your position on Toll Brothers. T-O-L, Toll Brothers, builds single-family detached homes and luxury communities for move-up, entry-level, nester active adults, okay? They're going to make $3.11 this year. That's up 43% from last year. It's a $36 stock, so that makes it what? A 12 PE? That's pretty low. That's low of its range. So why am I not so keen on you adding? Well, then the next year they're going to make 8% more, $3.37. And sales have recently tailed off. I'm not sure why. This is what bothers me. They were growing their sales in the double digits, 20, 30% for three quarters in a row. And then the most recent January quarter, sales fell 1%. Why? I want to know why. That bothers me that sales fell 1% in January quarter. I'm not sure why that would happen in a housing market that's still pretty strong. Yield is 0.9%, so dividend yield is nothing to write home about, not much. Management owns 9%, that's good. And another reason why I wouldn't buy more is because it's at $36.42. That's a high for the 52-week high. And a year ago, plus in the 2015 year, not last year, but 2015, so 2 years, well, not quite 2 years, it was around $40 a share. Remember, it's 36 now. And that was its high back then, and it's getting close to that. So I just don't think it's a good time to be buying, even though it looks really good on a chart, doing moving up nicely. I just don't know if I'd be adding to my position here. You know, I just don't think it's a good idea right now. Remember, the Fed's raising rates, and a lot of the builders may hit some headwinds here in the future. And remember, investors are looking forward. I would tend to be more inclined to do taking profits. I wouldn't sell at all, of course, but I might have a tight stop, and as long as it stayed in its upward trend line, I'd stay with it. But if it broke, I'd take some off the table. TOL is a number. We're going to talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was wondering if you can look at this symbol as SEBJ. The solar stock, and what's your opinion on this, please?
Give me that symbol again, S?
No, it's S as in Sam, E elephant, D dog, and G George.
Okay, is that Solar Ridge Technologies?
Yes.
Solar Ridge Technologies. Okay, that's a pretty tiny company, $628 million, very small. Its headquarters is in Israel, so it's an Israeli company. Israel-based manufacturer of DC optimized inverter systems, solar panel and harvesting and PV monitoring solutions. So it's obviously in the solar industry. It would be a pretty speculative buy if this, but it looks awful inexpensive. Now, my problem is it made $1.74 a share last year, but this year it's only going to make $1.24, and next year it's only going to make $1.09. Sales in the most recent quarter went down 11%, but the quarters before that was always growing fast. You know, so I'm quite nervous about it now since it's fallen, you know, the fundamentals have weakened so much. So this would be something that high risk play. And it does look like on a chart, it's put a bottom about 1250, 1275 and bounced. So it looks like this might be where it, you know, this might be on a technical basis, Mike. You would buy it here. On a fundamental basis, it's only going to make $1.09 in 2018. So that makes this about a 15 PE instead of the low PE it looks like now, because you're not looking forward. You're looking backward where it made more money. So don't think it's like really extra cheap. It's just not expensive. But I would check in to find out why sales have fallen off so sharply. What happened?
I know they're working on a different technology that's going to allow them to revenue to go up soon. But what is the resistance on that as far as on the upside?
The resistance is right at $15.60. $15.60, only 30 cents from the resistance. And it broke that resistance today and then came down off of it. It was up today. The stock was up today. But it hit up there. It was up twice as much as where it ended up. So it hit resistance today and broke down. So there's where your resistance is, okay? So it's trying to break that resistance, and it might do it in the next few days, Mike. It might. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, Federal Vice Chairman, because you know Janet Yellen is the chairman, but Federal Vice Chairman Stanley Fisher spoke out today, and he said, he forecasted maybe two more hikes this year. That might have helped the market a bit today, too. You know why? Because maybe a lot of investors felt there was going to be three more hikes this year, four altogether. And he's saying, maybe two hikes instead of three. And see, you just never know the psychology. You know, don't misunderstand. Don't mistake. There is psychology involved in any of the short-term movements of the market. Lots of it. Lots of psychology involved. Long-term, it all boils down to earnings. Short-term, anything can push the market one way or another. But he felt that we're going to get two more this year. That'd be three for the year. And he felt that since the dollar has been falling, and don't you find it fascinating that the dollar has fallen? I mean, if you think about it for just a minute, why is the dollar falling? Is our economy getting weaker? No. Is our interest rates going up, which would tend to strengthen the dollar? Yes. Why is it falling? Our dollar has fallen since the beginning of the year. Today it popped up a little bit, but it really collapsed yesterday. So all these, yesterday and today, was flat from the week of trading before that. So, you know, there's nothing, it's weak. The dollar is weak. And it looks like lower highs and lower lows it's trying to put in. Lower highs and lower lows. That's a trend downward. Now, why would the dollar do that? It's kind of interesting. I don't have an answer, by the way. I hate to tell you that. There's no answer. But the dollar, other than maybe the dollar was too strong in the first place. My theory is people are starting to think that the EU is turning around or at least bottomed. Japan turning around or at least bottomed. Therefore, their currencies, it's not a case of our dollar getting weaker. It's a case of their currencies getting stronger, which makes our dollar weaker in comparison. But not because something's bad with our dollar. It's something good for them. That's my theory. I've been spousing that theory for a bit. ever since the dollar started to weaken. And we'll see if that continues. We'll see. You never know. But I think the dollar is going to stay in a range, personally. I don't think it's going to collapse. I don't think it's going to take off. I think it's, you know, long term, I'm bullish on the dollar. But that's long term. If you're an investment insider already, you may have noticed the new look on our website. For you, your InvestTalk Insider membership means you can now browse a very comprehensive selection of in-depth financial news and background articles from some top name sources. And when you select the Insider Archives, you have access to a broad range of helpful info sheets that we produce at KPP Financial. You have instant access to it, to any and all of those wealth webinars that we put on. And the upside of the lower oil prices, global value investing, survival and opportunity in the volatile market webinars are all there. So if you're not an insider, why not sign up? It's free. You can do it right there on investtalk.com. And it doesn't require any giving a lot of personal information or anything like that. Just click on the InvestTalk tab and then InvestTalk Insider. So take a look at our new look. Just click on the InvestTalk tab on investtalk.com.
Steve has some new dates for Northern California. Each month, he sets aside one-hour blocks of time to review portfolios, and he'll be in San Jose on April 5th, and then San Ramon on April 25th. And of course, no matter where you live, you can take advantage of his checkups by Skype and telephone too. Just go to investtalk.com and look for the InvestTalk tab and then portfolio review.
Hey, Steve or Justin, have a question regarding ARI. I bought some about a year and a half ago in the lower 17s and it dropped into the high 15s. So I doubled up on my stake and now it has run up to kind of the upper 18s. And just wondering your thoughts on that, with interest rates rising and everything, is it worth holding on to? Is it better to sell it off and take the hit on my taxes? Just don't want to kind of give up money in my hand right now if the potential is there to drop. Not a huge stake in my portfolio, but just kind of wondering. Thanks a lot.
Well, I probably, if it was me, and just from a tax and common sense point of view, this is Apollo Commercial Real Estate. It's a REIT. I'd probably sell off and you double down. And so remember, the first tranche of purchase is a higher price than the second one. I'd sell that first tranche, and therefore your capital gains would probably be less. And because you double down and maybe you don't want to own that much of one thing. And this is a $1.7 billion company. It's not that big. It's a REIT that invests in and acquires first mortgage loans, mezzanine loans, commercial mortgage-backed securities. And we're in an environment of raising interest rates. So they have very good sales that are starting to slow. I'll give you an example. If you go back four quarters, sales grew 53%. Three quarters ago, sales grew at 40%. Two quarters ago, they grew at 36%. And one quarter ago, they grew at 26%. Down. Now, that doesn't mean it's still not going to grow. It could. I'm not trying to pretend that, that's terrible. It's still 26% growth. And, someone's going to look at this and say, oh, look at that PE ratio. It's 10. Well, it's actually less than that. If you look forward, it's more like 9 if the earnings estimates for next year are correct. But the five-year range is 7 to 13. And if you look at these kinds of stocks, their PE ranges are fairly low. This thing has made a new 52-week high. So I wouldn't just sell it that first half outright. What I would do is put it in a pretty darn tight stop and follow it up as it rises with the intention of selling off that first tranche that you bought, ARI, Apollo Community Real Estate. Okay, that's probably what I would do. It depends. When you bought the first tranche, did you buy like 1% of your portfolio or 3%? Did you buy a normal portfolio position, which to me would be about 3%? And then you double down and you got to 6%. Now you're having, now the price has went up, so now you're at probably 8%. Too much. Look for a place to cut back. That's what I would look at. Daniel, Mountain View. How you doing, Daniel?
Good to talk to you, Steve.
Thank you for calling.
I listen to you religiously on 1220.
Well, thank you.
Just had a quick question about Zillow symbol Z. I bought it. It's dropped a few percentage points. Just wonder whether I should hang on to it or run.
Are you in a profit yet? Or did you buy it really low, or did you buy it recently?
I bought it recently, so it's dropped about 4 or 5%.
Well, it's got a lot of support, right around $31 or so. It's at $32.94. I think I'd hold on to it. If it broke that support, I'd leave. Because then you don't know where. This is Zillow, everybody. Z is a symbol. Provides online real estate and data. You know Zillow. You can look at your home and see what it's worth. They're making money. They lost money in 2016, but they're going to make 49 cents this year and 82 cents next year. So that's very good. And sales are still pretty high, you know, in the low 30% range in the most recent quarter, which was better than the quarter before that. Not as good as a year ago. So, you know, it's a $5.8 billion company. It's a bit expensive, okay, to make 82 cents, you know, like 30 P.
Where would you put a stop, Steve?
I think I'd put it right around 31.50. 31.75 maybe. 31.75. It's at 32.94. So it's not very far. So I wouldn't let it go down much. And the reason I say that's where it was in October, November. It hit that number a couple of times and bounced up. So I'm hoping it'll bounce up again.
Okay. Would a trailing stop be appropriate, or just
probably not at this? Not when it's going down. I wouldn't put a trailing stop. I only put a trailing stop, Daniel, when something's moving up. Then I put a trailing stop on it.
Oh, that's a lesson. Thank you. I learned something. Well, okay. A lot of things today. Thank you, Dave, so much.
Appreciate it. That Z for Zillow. Yeah, trailing stops don't work when the trend is down. You're listening to Invest Talk. Glad you're here today. Don't save that question. We can still fit in your question if you want. 888-99-CHART is our number, and we're going to talk about Goldman Sachs and what they're saying about the correction. What are they saying? That's what we're going to discuss when we come back. So Goldman Sachs had the statements they made today, and the statement was nothing really that is surprising, really. They said market is at high risk for a correction. They're saying it had nothing to do with the politics or politics. They're not talking about anything coming out of Washington, nothing at all. It's more the fact that the trigger, when it does fall, will be due to fundamental peaking of growth momentum. That's a quote, by the way. And high valuations. Now, I noticed that they were very, very careful in not saying when. They also said, which I agree with, they said, but any correction is not going to derail the long-term bull market. Because fundamentally, even though prices are, you know, high, and even though, you know, growth might be peaking in momentum, you had this huge run from the Trump victory, which really kind of was unjustified because it's all in hype, really. But if he can't remember, that hype is, what if it doesn't come true? Well, the first bit of that hype about, you know, healthcare, it didn't come true, right? So the other part is infrastructure spending and taxes. And the market looks like they believe that is going to happen. But all through March, the market has weakened. All through March so far. And there's, you know, we're approaching April. And there's that old saying, go away in May. I don't know how true it is, but it's just an old saying. Because the summer months are usually weak. So Goldman Sachs didn't say when the correction was going to happen. It could be now. And they didn't really say how deep the correction would be. See how you can parse your words and be very, very careful? Now, I would be a little bit more forthright and therefore with a lot higher chance of being wrong. I think we are in the midst of a correction, and so far it's been pretty weak. But we are going to get a correction, in my opinion, 10% this year at some time and before the fall of next year. Now, even that statement I just made is pretty broad, gives me lots of time to be right. And I'm not saying if this correction, a little correction we're in, is the quote-unquote the correction of the market. I can't say that. Because if Trump gets past spending and an infrastructure and get past big tax reduction, it's going to be very bullish for the market. And that's why I don't think the bull market is in jeopardy, because I do think that he'll get some of that passed. It's quite a question. It might be the old saying, remember, buy the rumor and sell the news. When he finally gets it passed, maybe the market will sell off, even though it's good news. Your questions always come first, not what I want to talk about, but what you want to talk about. And your questions always come last, too. So let's take the last couple of minutes to answer a question. Right here, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin, this is Raul from Flowermount. Just calling with regards to ADPT, Adeptus Health. It looks like they had a huge drop from a previous price of 100 plus. Back in 2015, down to $1.77 today. Their PE is 0.3, and wanted to get your thoughts with regards to this stock. It's a small cap. $29 million is their market cap, and they're an emergency room company that is based out of three states here in Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico, I believe. Was wondering what you thought about this stock and whether it's worth the risk. It looks like it's been jumping up the last couple of days. However, the medical area has definitely changed, and I was wondering what you thought about taking a gamble on this stock. It certainly sounds like it would be a gamble based on their huge loss, but their modest increases over the last several days made it worthwhile, and certainly their PE got me interested. Thank you.
Okay, this was a $80, $90 stock a year ago. Today, it's $1.72. And it's a micro cap, not a small cap. Micro cap, $28 million is a micro cap. Extremely high risk. Sales actually fell in the most recent quarter. Before that, sales were growing, but shrinking. 12% the quarter before that, 38% for that, 50%. This is a really, really high risk. Yes, it's going to make $1.35 next year. So therefore, the $1.72 price of the stock seems really, really cheap. But they also have a lot of debt. A lot of debt. So this is something you could take a risk on, but make sure your risk money you don't mind losing, because it could go bankrupt on you. But it's okay to take a risk on it. Our time is up for the hour. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. On behalf of Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, I want to thank you for listening today. And let's plan on getting together tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.